Vertical dramas are not just a trend anymore. They are now a real part of the film industry, and audiences are spending real money on them. So if you're a filmmaker trying to understand where the opportunities are, here is the short version. Short drama apps made over $1 billion outside of China in 2024, with most of that money coming from the United States. The numbers keep growing, and the audience is clearly there. So, what are vertical platforms actually? Well, unlike social media, which is built around conversation and sharing, vertical platforms are built for watching stories. These apps are designed specifically for entertainment and monetization. Vertical platforms are built for 9x16 vertical viewing, focused on scripted, serialized stories, designed for very short episodes, usually about 60 to 120 seconds, and then optimized for binge watching. Think of them like modern-day soap operas. The episodes are short, the drama is big, and they are incredibly addictive. Here are a few of the platforms filmmakers should be watching right now. Starting off with Real Short. Real Short was one of the very first vertical apps to really connect with US audiences. Their shows move fast. Stories start with a conflict right away, with episodes ending on cliffhangers that make viewers want to keep on tapping next. Now, the plots often use big dramatic ideas like billionaire romances or secret identities and betrayals because those concepts work well in short bursts. Now, what makes Real Short stand out is its pacing. Traditional filmmakers think in scenes where Real Short thinks in moments. Every episode needs something big to happen, a reveal, a twist, or a dramatic shift. There is almost no wasted time. Their freemium model mixes with ads and episodes unlock. It also helps audiences get comfortable paying small amounts for story content. These are called microtransactions, by the way. Next up is Dramabox. Dramabox follows a very different strategy from Real Short. Instead of relying on one revenue model, they use many at once. Subscriptions, ads, paper episodes, and even product placement all exist inside the same system. Dramabox is basically testing everything. They gained early traction through popular romance themes like billionaires, werewolves, and mafia stories, but they're now expanding into other genres like family content, animation, and interactive shows. This is important for creators because it suggests vertical storytelling will not always be dominated by romances. As platforms show, they need more variety, which opens doors for different types of stories. Now, their association with the Disney Accelerator also gives them added credibility compared to many newer startups. Next up is MyDrama, ran by Holywater. Holywater? I don't know. They'll have to tell me if they read this. Anyway, MyDrama is interesting because it's the scale and the backing. With major production companies like Fox Entertainment behind it that are greenlighting 200 of these vertical series, the platform is preparing to grow very high output very quickly. That signals strong confidence in vertical storytelling as a business model. MyDrama operates more like a production engine than just an app. For filmmakers, this means speed and structure matter. Workflows need to be repeatable. Formats need to be consistent. Creative decisions may lean heavily on, you know, performance data other than gut feelings. Now, while their monetization system looks similar to competitors, the volume of planned productions is really what sets this platform apart from the others. Next up is PineDrama. Now, this one's interesting because PineDrama may become one of the biggest disruptors in the space. Unlike other platforms that are fighting for attention, Pine Drama can pull directly from TikTok's massive user base. That changes everything here, guys. We're looking at 1.6 billion active monthly users. That's nuts. The app is currently free and ad-free, which is a classic audience building move where you start building those habits and then you start monetizing later, you know, get them hooked and then charge them for the big stuff. With TikTok's scale and algorithmic power, Pine Drama has the potential to grow extremely fast. Now, for creators, this could be both the largest opportunity and the most competitive environment. It's probably going to be both. Now, the next one up is Candy Jar. Candy Jar stands out because of its story pipeline. Instead of starting with film concepts, it pulls from Inkit's large library of reader-validated fiction. These are stories that have already been fan-tested and are then adapted into vertical series. This reduces a lot of the guesswork here. Creators are not just pitching ideas, they're working for material that has already got a proven audience appeal. They've already got a fan base. This is where viewer behavior, not executives, really help determine what gets greenlit. Next up is Vigloo. I'm sure I butchered that, but we're going to go with it, Vigloo anyway. Vigloo differs mainly in episodes, feature length and tone, because Vigloo is a little bit longer. Where most of the other platforms are usually about 1 minute episodes, Vigloo offers up to 2 minutes. Now, that extra time allows for slightly slower pacing and more breathing room for those emotional breaths. Now, they can also lean more heavily into multi-genre programming instead of only romance-driven stories. For creators exploring different genres, this kind of platform positioning can be very appealing. Now, there are dozens of vertical narrative platforms. Now, some focus heavily on romance, others on experimenting with different genre diversity like horror and thriller and true crime. But most freemium models will use ads and subscriptions and other microtransactions as far as their business structure goes. The space still feels like the Wild West, but there are some already established rules. If you're producing for vertical platforms, you need to understand some of these common standards that are just going across all platforms. First off, they're all very short episodes, or 1 to 2 minutes. They have strong cliffhangers at the end of each episode. They're very fast-paced, and they have a lot of reversals. They're vertical-first compositions and mobile-native storytelling. So it's not a lot of reformatting your old movie into a vertical format. These are purpose-driven for vertical. Now, trying to re-edit that traditional media, again, it just doesn't work. These stories are designed specifically for this type of viewing style. You try it, you'll find out it doesn't work that great. Anyway, the business models are also evolving. You've got freemium access, coin-based unlocking systems, subscriptions, ad-supported viewing, and hybrid structures. I'm sure you're going to see some of the other classics in there as well, like TVOD and other traditional ways to pay for this content, but we'll see how that progresses over time. But there is no single dominant model yet, which means platforms are still experimenting. Now, for filmmakers, this is actually good news. It means the ecosystems are still forming and opportunities are still emerging. Right now, romance remains the safest genre, but data suggests room to grow in areas like horror or true crime, comedy, sci-fi, faith-based, and male-skewed content. Vertical filmmaking is not replacing traditional film or TV. Maybe I think I need to repeat that one more time so you guys understand. Vertical filmmaking is not, I repeat, is not replacing traditional film or TV. It's just creating a parallel system. Filmmakers can ignore it, or you guys can study it and decide how to participate. Either way, the vertical storytelling is not going away, and the audiences are already here, and so is the money. So get your money, y'all. Learn more about vertical formats. Learn more about traditional filmmaking. Either way, craft those stories and bring them to the Utah International Film Festival. Talk to you soon.